It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
And on the round, it's Dixon. And Dixon goes home. Touchdown, Utes.
Didn't know that, but that's good for JD, and he made a terrific catch early in the game. That adjustment, it was a third down catch. That was not easy, and he did a great job adjusting to that. Cam put the ball right where it needed to be. Then he scored on the reverse, and it's just great. You know, he had some bumps in the road, you know, a few years ago, and we almost lost him. We did lose him for a period of time, and he came back, and we're very glad he did, and he's contributing for us very well.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Hey, it's Monday. It's a Monday after a college football weekend. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. What's with this random music going on? Just playing music? Jeremy's just playing music. Hey, whatever you want. We'll just play music the whole time. Okay, perfect. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Welcome to your Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. Giant weekend of sports. I was just so glad. I love those. I love the weekends when BYU plays early. Because then I have to do pre- and post-game shows on a Saturday. For once.
I want to go back in time.
What do you mean? What do you want to do?
I just want to go back in time. And it just hit me right before we went on the air. I miss the good old days.
Oh, boy. Here comes Scott Mitchell living in the past, everybody.
I want to go back.
To when you peaked?
No.
You don't think this is peak Scott now?
To when we did the show, when I did it remotely.
Oh, you want to be at your house
I
want
to go back to my living room.
You still
back to doing the show in my underwear, not even combing my hair.
Listen, I'm going to say something, though.
I miss those days. I miss those days.
You come into the office, we talk about sports. You still haven't put pants on.
Nope.
There's still no pants in 2022, so what's the problem?
Well, I had to comb my hair. I had to drive here.
See, I take it personally because I think you don't want to see me.
No.
That's what it is.
No, yeah. I don't. That's not what it is.
You know I'm insecure. You know I need our relationship. You got to always be telling me we're okay. Are you and I okay, Scott?
You're okay. Yes. You are fine. Everything.
You don't love somebody else,
fine.
Do you?
Everything is just fine.
Hey, I know where you were on Saturday afternoon. Noon kickoff for the Utes and Oregon State. That's where we're going to kick things off here. Let's just jump in right here. We do this every weekend where I'm like, don't talk to me about the game. I have a couple things we might say here and there, but Scott's going to break it down for me here and how the Utes dominated the Beavers. 42-16 at Rice-Eccles Stadium. That's where we're going to kick things off with the cut.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. No. At University of Utah Health, they get the same great care. The Jazz, Utes, and Cougars. No. Cougars? Who? Oh, and RSL. Yeah, those are the ones. UofuHealth.org is the website, UofuHealth.org. And also, G2G Bars. Scott converted a couple more people to G2G Bars this weekend. Preservative-free and found in your refrigerated section of your Associated Foods, Holiday Oil, Maverick, Costco. Got some at Costco this weekend. That's what I did. I buy them at Costco, then I convert people with them, hand them out.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's part of the deal. They're awesome sponsors.
I converted some folks to the G2G this
weekend. That's the thing is that I think that they go, nah, I don't know. I've seen them, but I just didn't want to pick one up. And then I'm like, just do it. Here you go.
Just try it.
Hey, 42-16, big win. I don't think anybody is fooled by the thought that Utah, you know, kind of lucked a win on this one. They were the by far dominant team. They ended up blowing this thing out. It was 21-16 in the third quarter. I sneezed, and then it was 42-16. They had an awesome showing on defense. The offense, I think people are looking at it, they're going, we didn't have. I saw somebody post on Twitter, this is my favorite, critiquing a 42-16 win. Right. Look, I love the win. That's what I love. Buffy, what was the score? 42-16. Oh, a dominant win over the Beavers. Now, that's in Oregon. Am I wrong? Now, how many yards on offense did we have? And then they look at the scoreline, and they're outgained by Oregon State, technically. And you go, I don't care. I don't care. Who cares? Because in the end, the four picks, three of them by Clark Phillips, all of the things that Utah did on defense were as impressive as they did on offense. You've already told me never to expect Cam Rising to have a 350-yard passing game, because that's not what Andy Ludwig does. That's not what he does. But a 70-something-yard rushing day for Cam Rising, a solid game through the air without being too crazy.
Well, he's 199 yards throwing through the air. Very efficient. I mean, he threw the ball very well. I think he had three touchdown passes. Great.
In the end, your impressions of this game then?
Well, here's the thing. There's one thing that jumped out at me defensively. The effort, the all-out effort by guys was just unbelievable. Junior Tafuna was just, he was insane. He was right. Like how hard he played. Mo Diabate had four tackles for loss. RJ Hubert, I think, who led the team in tackles, free safety. It was just exceptional against the run.
You said, I mean,
they were so good.
Mo Diabate, I was listening to the broadcast when you guys were on the radio. I was like, this guy's figuring some things out.
He really is. And he's that perfect linebacker type for Utah. And, you know, we're going to talk to Devin Kafusi later on in the show, but Oregon State is really good up front. Their offensive line is probably the best offensive line in the Pac-12 as far as running the football. Really, really good. And they were so good at Utah. I mean, they got a couple of times, but consistently they were getting good downhill penetration at line of scrimmage with these linebackers. They were reading and flowing. And you have to against that offensive line or you're going to just get smothered. And he was so good at it. And really everyone was. I mean, all these guys were great. Of course, then you have Clark Phillips, who, you know, just had a day. But it was just the effort. Like, it was just the absolute just effort plays by guys, you know, Junior running and actually getting in a tackle on a flanker screen from the inside. RJ Hubert coming up from his safety position to make a tackle on the weak side of the running back in the backfield. Like that is just effort, you know, and Zeremiah Vaughn running down a wide receiver on another screen that really was about the biggest play that Oregon State had. Stop the guy, right? And he's on like the 5-yard line and then they don't score and they kick a field goal. I mean, just great effort. And he had a diving tip pass, and this is Jeremiah Vaughn, who's not the starter. You know, he's not a starting guy, but just a great effort. And then Clark Phillips, when Clark Phillips had his interceptions, like they're interceptions, Alex. Like you get a tip, you get a badly thrown pass behind a guy, whatever. Every single one of those interceptions, he earned them. Like they were an elite athlete, understanding.
Right.
Playing elite coverage and making big-time interceptions.
Okay, so where is this team right now? Because, like, that's something I want to ask Devin later.
Okay.
Is like, you see this team now. You see where they were last year. That they ended up being Pac-12 champions. Are they ahead of schedule this year? Like, are they clicking on all cylinders? Because you see Kalani talking about this all the time. And BYU's not there yet. You look at Utah and you go, okay, so are they clicking right now all the way?
So here's where they're clicking. Their defense, from the front to the linebackers to the secondary, they're clicking. Like, they have players. Like, this linebacker crew is, you know, 1 through 4 is really, and it's really 5. But, and they typically play 2, sometimes 3 guys. Really good. Defensive front is exceptional and deep. The secondary, Kareni Ree, the safeties, R.J. Hubert and Cole Bishop.
Cole Bishop, yeah.
Cole Bishop's probably as good a player as there is in the Pac-12. I mean, aside from Clark Phillips. And then you have J.T. Broughton on the weak side. Just really, really good. Really, really good. And Oregon State, believe it or not, actually went after Utah throwing the ball at him. And early. I mean, the first two plays of the game were passes. And of course, you know, they know that Utah is going to be geared to stop the run. But Utah had, you know, really, really had their number. Just did an excellent job. On offense, here's the thing. I know everyone's all bent sideways about running the football. Oregon State was not going to let Utah run the football.
Right.
And the thing, when you're asking, is this team clicking on all cylinders? Cam Rising was amazing.
Yeah, he's
just, Cam Rising was...
Does all things he's asked.
He just
to.
Does everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cam Rising looked yesterday like he looked at the end of the season last year. Like, he took it up a notch this past week. And Devon Vele, who... You know, because everyone's like, what the heck's going to happen with Brant Keithy? Devon Vele had an exceptional game. Jalen Dixon, who's a guy that's kind of, you know, he wasn't with the team for a while, going through some things personally, comes back, great attitude. But every time that guy touches the ball, something electric happens. I mean, and that's the way it was before. This kid has legitimate top-end speed. And the more they figure out how to get him involved in things – You know, and it's the jet sweep. It's the this. It's the throw the ball deep kind of thing.
I was just watching the little reverse, you know, jet sweep type thing.
But you see, I mean, when he got going,
he blows past everybody.
He goes by everybody.
So why doesn't he see the ball more?
Because he's a guy. It's one of those things where, you know, where do you start? Because you have three really good running backs. Tavion Thomas, something's wrong there. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know if it's in his head or if he's physically injured, but he's not running with the same kind of urgency and tenacity that, you know, maybe he was even running in earlier in the season. Jalen Dixon's probably the best runner they have right now. Mekhi Bernard played and Mekhi creates opportunities. Mekhi's good out of the backfield as a receiver. He has a lot of good things.
Yeah, nobody's taking over. BYU and Utah both have this issue right now where it's like, okay, well, which guy is it? Week to week, come on, man, what is this?
Well, no, you don't need to. I mean, the guys that are there, that's the point, is like figuring out how to get Jalen Dixon more involved. That's not a problem because he's been very productive. It's just you realize – wow, we got to find more opportunities for him. That's an exciting challenge to have because that'll come into play down the road. Devon Vele is a guy that consistently shows up. Dalton Kincaid's a guy that consistently shows up. You had a couple of new guys at tight end that actually played pretty decent. Money Parks showed up in the game, and he's a guy that you know, Solomon Enos was injured. So, but the thing that was this is why Utah's so good. Okay, they can run the football, and if they have to run, they will. But they also can throw the football very well. So they're a team that's not one dimensional, and they're going to kind of take and do whatever they have to do to be fairly effective. I mean, you know, the offense put 35 points on the board, and probably could have put more points on the board. I mean, they had the defensive score. This is just, I think, the most complete team in the Pac-12. And the big thing was, let's just take Georgia, for example. Everyone realized that Stetson Bennett is just okay throwing the football. If you can stop Georgia from running the football, you can beat Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia and you know who doesn't look good right now, right?
And you know who can stop Georgia from running the football? A team like Utah. Like they're.
Sir, I'm writing this down real quick. Are you putting Utah in the national championship game against Georgia? Am I penciling them in? Then?
Ohio State, right? That Utah was undermanned against and went toe to toe to the end of the game. All I'm telling you is, any given Saturday, Utah can compete with anyone in college football. That's what I think.
Colin
Cowherd had a powerful statement about Utah. That it was powerful what he thought about where Utah was. Because they're 11 in the country right now, and They're the top-rated team that has a loss, basically.
Yeah, you know, and I was looking at that because you've said that kind of from the beginning because they've been in that spot of being the highest-rated team with one loss for a while. And at some point, all the teams in front of them are going to start losing, right? I mean, they can't go – they all play each other, you know, including Utah's going to be playing
everyone
USC
does,
in front
right?
of them, all that. So, but I'm telling you, the Pac-12 is in a way good spot right now because – and it only helps Utah. Oregon is on a 4-game win streak. That's it's starting to become a scary team.
So
you have USC who's undefeated. Right. You have UCLA this weekend who's undefeated. And I watched that game against Washington this weekend. And I'm telling you, they're at a different level. Like all the stuff is clicking for them that they've always said they're going to click, and they haven't. And now they are. And so this benefits right. Utah to be able to say, hey, a ranked UCLA team, a ranked USC team, a ranked Oregon team. I'm sure Washington State is going to be ranked by when they play them too. So all of these teams that are lining up in front of them are better than they thought. The committee is when the first poll comes out. What is it? The 2nd of November or whatever it is. That very first weekend of November. They're going to have to recognize the fact that Utah is mowing down ranked opponents if they can keep the winning up, and if they are really the best team in the Pac-12.
Well, look at what will happen. Let's just assume Utah wins against UCLA this week. They're a better football team than UCLA, okay? Better team. But, you know, that's what you got. You haven't found out. Can Utah beat a good team on the road? That's when you know you have a championship team, when you can do that. So let's just say Utah plays USC. They'll both be in the top 10, right? So Utah wins that game. Then USC will probably drop below Utah, maybe somewhere 10, you know, somewhere around there after they lose that
sure.
game. Right?
Yeah.
So then who moves up? I mean, Oregon's right behind Utah in the polls. So now in the middle of November, Utah now plays an Oregon team that's probably – so Utah's going to play two top 10 teams in the season, right? So then Oregon plays Utah late in the year – probably both of them top 10 teams. And what you're going to end up with, if you're looking at, you know, the college football rankings, you're going to say, you know, Utah beat like you're mentioning, but I'm walking through the scenario of what you're saying here.
Yeah.
So then Utah plays in the Pac-12 championship, probably against a team like Oregon or USC again, who are these top teams. But you could potentially have three or four teams in the Pac-12 inside the top 15 based on just because there's three teams way up in the polls right now with Utah, USC and Oregon. And you know, Oregon's way or USC's way up. So if they lost to Utah, they're not going to fall out of the sky at this point
in
the season.
You know, maybe it's because what's interesting is with all the college football realignment stuff that happened in the offseason, I think we just – I'm shocked that the Pac-12 is as good right now as they are. And I know USC and UCLA are going to be going to the Big Ten. Fine. They can have them. But you think about it, and like the teams who are going – the Big 12, for example, Texas and Oklahoma are like barely in the middle of that pack, right? And,
yeah.
Or toward the bottom of the pack if you're Oklahoma. And to be able to have these – these teams in the Pac-12 performed where they are. I think we just assumed that the Pac-12 wasn't going to be very good, right?
Yep.
They're looked at as a relegated conference a little bit already. They're looked at as a little bit soft. They're looked at as on, you know, they've been kind of headed a certain direction. Utah only won the Pac-12 last year because they have such weak teams in there. You've even said, hey, listen, the Pac-12 wasn't that good last year, so it was a good year for you. Utah had to win it. But now you have a way different scenario in front of you. A much improved, basically every team that's playing in front of them, maybe except for Oregon. And Oregon's playing as good a football as we've seen them play. They've won four in a row, and they had that loss to Georgia. And I'm not certain that if they played Georgia this coming weekend that they wouldn't make that thing a football game.
It'd be,
like
it'd be a different, it'd
right?
Be, yeah,
it different just is so game. Hard at the beginning of the year to know exactly what's going
it,
on
it really
with these
is.
Teams. And so right now, that's why it's interesting to see the evolution every week upon week. That's why. BYU fans are still a little bit grumpy and salty about that loss or about the win against Utah State because it felt like a loss in a way because the team didn't make any progress. And so that's concerning, where it didn't feel like it was making much progress, but a win's a win's a win. And so you have to tell people, hey, a win is a win is a win. So just relax, settle down.
But here's another thing to consider when you say a win's a win's a win. Okay? And this is important. So just take Utah this last week. They get Oregon State at home after what? After an emotional loss at home against mm-hmm. USC. Yep. And so they got to travel to Utah. So if you're going to play Oregon State, who I think is a really good football team, I mean, if they don't throw four interceptions 2 weeks in a row, you know, these games might be a little bit closer. They certainly would have won that game against USC, and it would have been a much, much closer game against Utah. A much, much closer game. Okay.
Sure. Yep.
And they're a good football team. They're not. If they had a decent quarterback, if they would have gone in the transfer portal and picked up anybody other than what they have, they would be a pretty darn good football team.
Dude, I'm having to read. So, these.
But it's when you get someone. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Utah goes to USC right now, or UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA. You know what they are? They're flying high. We haven't lost all year. We had this big win against Washington. It's almost the same effect that Oregon State had, where you're overinflated with yourself right now. Like, Utah has its nose to the...
Do you think Oregon State was overinflated because they only lost by 3 points?
No, when I say USC overinflated, but what I'm saying is your emotional psyche was down if you're Oregon State.
Right.
Because of the loss. Like, and it looked a little bit that way. If you're UCLA, your emotional psyche is too high right now. You're too full of yourself.
Oh, so they're too confident,
right?
Oh,
and okay. So what I'm saying is that sometimes in a season, hitting a team, because it's every game is different, right? Every game is different. Now UCLA, they're going to be hyped up to play Utah for sure. No question about it, and they're going to feel good about themselves. But it's just one of those little factors that plays into hitting teams at the right time.
Okay, so where's Utah then? Where's Utah then?
Well, here's what. So,
right where they need to be. So they had that one loss. They got a little bit humbled by that.
No question. And it was a gut punch of all gut punches. And no one's really been talking about Utah. No one, you know, the national perspective, they're off the radar. And they'll get back on the radar. They win this week. They'll get back. They'll be in the thick of the conversation.
The only way that Utah.
If they win the next 2 weeks.
The only way that Utah becomes part of the national conversation again is when they start creeping up the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah.
When those first rankings come out in a month. So what you're hoping for, because if there's a loss between now and November 2nd, when those first rankings come out, then no one's going to be talking about Utah still.
Oh, they're done.
Which is wild. Yeah. Because right now, as you look at it, and we'll talk a little bit about these numbers later on in the show, but it is like really hard to come back from a two-loss anything, anywhere, not just in the Pac-12, but in any of these conferences, right? And yet, they still have a shot if they lose against Oregon or USC or even UCLA. If those teams are ranked high enough, you might be able to be a part of that conversation still. So,
yeah, and my point is more about it's the timing of when you catch a team. BYU did a great job of that a year ago. You know, they got Arizona the first game of the year, the Arizona State at home. They got Utah at just the right time. They hit all of these schools. They got USC when they were just a dumpster fire. And sometimes when you get a team is as important as, you know, are you actually a better team? Is it actually home or away? So that emotional psyche of a team when you play them, the health of the team. I mean, there's a lot of things, and that's why these games – week in and week out are different and new, and you just don't know what's going to happen, and that's why it gets exciting to watch.
I am really excited by the fact that Utah's winning like they are, and that BYU's winning like they are. It makes just so much a better headline or storylines for us to be able to talk about these teams, because now Utah goes up to 11 in the polls, quietly number 11 in the country. And I think this is exactly where Kyle Whittingham wants to be. Don't think about us. Don't talk about us. Don't mention us. Well, let's beat UCLA down in Pasadena, which I think that, I don't know what the opening, what's our degenerate gambler producer say about the line of that game?
2.5, I think, wasn't it?
Utes open 2.5?
Yeah.
Favorites. Mm-hmm. Utes are favorites. Why wouldn't they be, right? I mean, this is I think that they'll even have a little bit of juice from going down there and playing the Rose Bowl. Because teams do this. Scott, I'll tell you from experience. Teams do this all the time. They go down there every week. Every team that plays UCLA down at the Rose Bowl, they go, we know that we could be playing back at the stadium again later in the season.
It has an impact.
Yeah, but on top Utah, of it, when you've already been there and you know it's a possibility, it's one thing. When teams come in there and go, we could be playing later here in the season here, it's like, no, you're not. But Utah, when they mention it, that's a legitimate thing. And they know what it feels like to be in that locker room, and they know what it feels like to play in that stadium. It's a much different atmosphere, for sure. But I think they're going to get a lot of juice from going back to that stadium and playing this weekend. Imagine going back in time and telling the young you that jerseys would be as important as and the combinations of jerseys would be as important as anything else leading up to the hype of a game. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More to go. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah
is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Utes square off against UCLA in a massive Pac-12 showdown this Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hut, hut, hut. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Am I yelling, Scott? Sound like I'm yelling?
I can't hear you.
Huh? Welcome back. It's 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. You don't have to yell in the microphone these days. So I've been told.
I have a complaint. I just saw something that's just so ridiculous.
I love these.
So over all of this stuff. So tired of it.
Without knowing, I feel like this is going to be a first world problem, but go ahead.
No.
Oh, no, there's a real problem.
I don't know. It's about your BYU Cougars. I was just looking at the ticker at the bottom of ESPN here, mm-hmm. and it's like Notre Dame plays BYU. 16th ranked BYU and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
There's no number in front of Notre Dame.
Right, but it's Notre Dame, Scott.
And guess who's favored?
I get it.
Notre Dame, 6.5-point favorite.
That's a lot, actually.
On the road in the desert against the 16th ranked team in the country. Come on, who does this stuff?
Scott,
give
Jeremy.
Me a freaking break about Notre Dame. Come on, I'm so tired.
What's the line now?
It's dropped to 3.5.
Shoot.
What? Just
Jeremy,
since
you
I started
call me.
Since
you're
I started
game,
talking on the phone?
Since you started talking on the air. The line went down as soon as you mentioned.
First I see this, what do you want?
You
here?
Better you're the degenerate gambler. You gotta give me a heads up on this crap.
Why would you bet on that?
Yeah, what are you going to do with this?
6.5?
What are you going to do?
Don't you have multiple guys you can call or gals? There's always somebody.
There's somebody out there typically.
Do you have different states you go to? Where do these people live?
Can't get that information out.
See? I knew it.
Alex,
the line opened at 6.5. You didn't call me? I'm pissed.
No one on the radio listen right now. I got to talk to Alex. So everyone just turn your radios off.
You and me.
Alex, this is Utah.
Okay. I know you can't, but I'm just wondering where.
You can't even really even talk about it.
I just want to worry. So Scott, you know what's hilarious about the gambling in sports?
Don't talk about it.
Think about it.
Let's go to Wendover. We'll talk about it there.
You have to. They can't even go over that. That's what's crazy. Think about how far gambling has come. Like, it's the people talk about it immediately. Most of the ads that run on the weekend, they deal with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Beer commercials, car insurance commercials. Or, hey, if you think you might have a problem with gambling, Caesar Sportsbook has got a real program that'll help you out. You could turn your app off for up to 2 days so you don't make a dumb bet. You're like, what?
Turn it off.
You can turn it off
for up
like,
to 2 days.
It is seriously like the weirdest thing because it's like, hey, we want you to gamble responsibly, but not too responsibly. You know, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that? It's wild how far we've come with that. But I'm on board with you. And yet,
I just look at it not from like, oh, gambling. I look at it from
just a football perspective. Well,
so that means they really like Notre Dame in this game. Like, wow.
Notre Dame will get a bump. Notre Dame is one of those teams that will just get a bump. And I'll tell you too, BYU fans, there's a lot of a feeling of Notre Dame always being big brother here. Because I think this is the ninth game in the series that they've played. So I want to see what BYU Notre Dame are as a series. And I'll tell you where we're at here. Okay, so now this will be the it looks like this will be the no, this says it's only going to be the seventh time that they've played. Okay. And Notre Dame is 4-2 against BYU. BYU hasn't won a game since 94 against the Fighting Irish. Okay?
Okay.
And when you look at this, 2004. I forgot Gary Croton beat Ty Willingham. Gosh darn it. We forgot about that one.
That's one of the only ones he had.
No, and not just that. Like I was at BYU during that time. Yeah. Very forgettable moment, I guess. But here's the thing: is that BYU has there is a definite, and you correct me if I'm wrong, BYU fan. You tell me. But there is a feeling to that you have to perform against Notre Dame because of the historical side of it. Everybody who plays Notre Dame goes through that. Whether you go, it's Notre Dame. The four horsemen of the football apocalypse, you know, you think of Newt Rockne, you think of Rudy, all those things. All that stuff, just the historical side of it.
I don't think of Rudy when I think of
Rudy. I know,
Notre
because
Dame.
You have, like, what's his name? Joe Montana told you about how fake it was, and then you would try to tell everybody. And I get it. Let me just live my life in the movies,
Rudy.
Please.
That's fine.
So, but Notre Dame is another thing. There's an added layer if you're a BYU fan, and that is, hey, we're independent too. Hey, we're a religious institution too. Hey, we're trying to find respect just like you. And there's this feeling of that's the big independent program. And BYU's going to the Big 12.
Notre Dame's really the only independent program.
I know.
It
and
really
that's the
is.
Feeling that BYU fans have. They know that that's the feeling, too. That they are relegated to, but Notre Dame plays on a different level. Notre Dame has they have rules changed for them. All of these rules.
You know,
when to play the game, where to play the game. They've gerrymandered the crap out of this game, and it is such bull crap. And that's why BYU fans, and that's why BYU gets a little bit of a chip on their shoulder about Notre Dame, because they do whatever they want, and everybody just goes, okay. And Notre Dame wins two or three games, and they go, well, let's rank them in the top 25 again.
Okay, Notre Dame. I got a question for you.
Yep.
This is a good question. This is a really good question.
You can't come out of the gate and say, I came up with a great question.
Of course I can.
Okay. Because
it's a really good question.
Let me hear it.
Would BYU be better off today had they gone into a conference and not gone independent?
Better off today, what? Like, would they have gotten the Big 12 invite in any way?
Well, like, let's just take would you have enjoyed the last whatever years that they've been in independence?
That's hard to go
had
back.
Had they gone and maybe what if they went undefeated two or three times like a Boise State? And what if they went and there's all this discussion about – because if they were in a conference and they had that kind of schedule and this independence or this conference realignment thing showed up again, everyone go, well, look at the one program. Because people talk about Cincinnati. They go, well, Cincinnati or UCF, those two programs, they were kind of the bowl buster programs because they stayed in a lesser conference.
Hard to know. I mean, it's hard to go back and guess how they would have done again. In the 11 years of having schedules like
they would have had to have they would have had to have gone undefeated two or three times with a non Power Five heavy conference schedule.
Here's the thing: is that I think that
Would you have enjoyed it better? Would you go, we won our conference championship. We get to go to the Potato Bowl. Wait,
stop.
What is it? What is the Mountain West Conference champion go to?
Somehow.
Kimmel Bowl.
Well, now they go to the Kimmel Bowl. But it used to be the Vegas Bowl, too. Vegas Bowl was big Mountain West, which BYU was already playing in all the time anyway.
My question, and I mean this in all seriousness, would they have been better?
There's a little bit of a slight in your voice,
No,
too.
There was not. Is this a serious question? Would they have been better off? It's great where they ended up. They probably would have ended up in the same place. And would it have been better? Because there was a lot of years when independence for BYU sucked. It was bad.
I remember. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how much I would have enjoyed. And I think that there are enough times in independence that BYU has been on a radar that they wouldn't have been on in the Mountain West. I do. And so their really difficult Power 5 schedule at the front end of their independence that Tom Holmoe did a masterful job with, it's hard to guess and see where we'd – I don't know what year you think BYU would have gone undefeated in the Mountain West. I don't know. Like maybe
a lot?
No, they wouldn't have.
Of course they would have.
Scott, you're saying that at the same time that they're playing – that they already play Boise State most of those years anyway, and a lot of them they were losing to them.
Well, it's because they were beat up because they played all those Power 5 schools. Sure.
See, that's what I'm
Had
saying.
Had they is not that, been so beat up, they would have.
The hypothetical.
But could you imagine a real Boise State-BYU rivalry to win a conference championship? Would that not be more exciting? Than
I'll just tell you right now.
We're playing Liberty, and we're playing UMass, and we're playing blah, blah, blah.
You know what scares me is that BYU is going to go to Lynchburg, Virginia, and they'll have made all this progress, and then they lose to Liberty.
Right, and who wants that? That's independence.
Against is Charlie Brewer still the guy? No, he broke his hand, right? Oh. So, but no, independence, Scott, I don't know what year you would think that they would have run the table. And I don't think they would have. I don't think they would have. And I know it was a COVID year, but I would take that 10-2 season that Zach Wilson had over a Mountain West Conference championship. Mountain West Conference championship. Not an undefeated season, because you can't go, well, they probably would have gone undefeated.
They probably would have gone undefeated in that year if they'd have been in the Mountain West.
I can't remember. Was the Mountain West even playing games back then? Or they weren't. Yeah, they were playing games, but it still wasn't very good. That's a hard game to play. It's a little bit of a dumb game to play. You can make up a lot of hypotheticals on that thing, but I'm telling you.
I think it's a good poll question.
Yeah.
Would BYU be better?
BYU be better?
In a conference than independence. Would it have been better for him?
No. I think independence worked out great. Tom Holmoe, and you know what? It turned a corner for COVID. Honestly, we were all looking at that game that year, and we were going, oh, Tom Holmoe, you need to do a little bit of a better job with A, B, and C, you know, when it comes to these things. And, you know, scheduling teams, et cetera. And then that year, that basically single-handedly got him into the Big 12, I feel like. That and Texas and Oklahoma leaving. Which one had a bigger effect? That BYU was on the map after a couple of years of really, really good showings in the independents, or just Texas and Oklahoma left and so you get desperate? It's the latter, for sure.
It is.
Scott, don't do these things to BYU fans who are listening, because they'll go off and go, you know, 2009, we would have been amazing, dude. We'd have won the.
I think of 2009.
No, 2009, I think they were in the Mountain West still. No, but it'd be like, there are a couple seasons in there that Bronco Mendenhall won double-digit wins, and you're like, maybe they're the bowl busters that year. I got to go back and look. I got to actually dive into that.
I mean, Utah did it in the Mountain West. They went to the Fiesta Bowl, Sugar Bowl.
Thanks for
Boise State did
it. Thanks for helping me out.
UCF did it. Cincinnati did it. And guess where they are today?
I told you.
They're on the map.
My brother lives in Orlando, and when UCF had that year in 2017 and the legislature voted to, like, give them a national championship, they had billboards up that said,
"You stink, and I don't like you."
They had the billboards up, though. They had people have the license plate, you know, frame that says 2017 national champions UCF football. It's amazing. And it's real.
They earned it.
It's like Utah, what was it, a year and a half ago, that were given some fake national championship What was it? Yeah, but what was the group?
It's on an accredited poll. Official poll.
Just like the old guys at McDonald's getting coffee in the morning, they're accredited too. Let them, they're giving out national championships now.
NCAA accredited or something like
no,
that.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is. By anybody.
Okay.
And I believe it was Anderson Hester poll.
It's like when the guys roll up and they go.
Oh, it's the Anderson Hester poll. Of
it's
course.
Like when guys roll up. And
of
they
course.
Go, well, I put, actually. Yeah, don't be,
it's okay, Jeremy. If you're wrong, it sounds good.
It could be
good.
Backwards. Hester,
I took some courses at Southern Virginia, and they're like, those don't transfer, buddy. I'm sorry. I played football at Nob. It doesn't transfer.
They're the Phoenix Online national champions.
Oh. All right. We'll take a break. We got more to go here on the program. When we return, here we have our weekend warriors, people who won the weekend.
Let's go.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah
is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Aggies welcome the Air Force Academy to Logan for a key Mountain West Conference battle. Catch all the play-by-play action this Saturday, beginning with the Aggie pregame show on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hut, hut, hut. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Good question in the last segment, Scott. Where would BYU, where would they be if they would have been in a world of the Mountain West?
Would
conference?
They be better if they'd have been in a conference than the two have been independent?
Like, would their team be better? Or would they be better off as a program?
Like, would those years have been more enjoyable, more productive? Could they potentially have gone to a New Year's Six bowl game being an undefeated team? Could they have, you know, conference championships and all conference players? Would there be more excitement for people when they're playing for something? I don't know. Because I believe had they gone to a conference and had they done well in a conference, which I believe they would have, I think they still would have been invited under the circumstances that they did to the Big 12, just like Cincinnati, like UCF.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, Houston's not even really that good, but
Houston could be good. You know, Houston's one of those programs.
They have the potential.
Like, and maybe them getting the Big 12 will actually help them turn that corner when it comes to stealing that couple extra, you know, recruits from the backyards of Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, et cetera. Baylor. Baylor lost this weekend to Oklahoma State. It looks bad for BYU, but at the same time, like, Oklahoma State team's good. That's going to be the team to beat in the Big 12 next year.
You know what was awesome last Saturday? The weather. Wow.
Oh, my heavens, yes. So yeah, you got a good one.
What a great weather situation.
Was the stadium full on Saturday?
Here's the tricky part about the stadium. Boy.
Just answer the question, Scott.
Well, it looked full. but looks are deceiving because you know what the color of the seats are? Red.
Yeah, they are.
And you know what everybody wears to the game? Red.
What?
Yeah.
Those chairs are sometimes pink.
Well, no, they put a chemical process on them that rejuvenated.
I thought they hit them with a blowtorch.
I don't know what the process was.
Yeah, that's more of a physical reaction. Did you take science? Come on.
Well, whatever. I mean, heat is part of chemistry.
Hey, science teachers, write in. Is that a physical or chemical change that we're talking about when they hit the blowtorch with the pink chairs with the blowtorch, and they turn red after the sun fades?
Do you think you know the answer?
I have no idea, actually. Oh. It's one of those that I can convince myself either way. Scott, this is the time of the day we roll out our weekend warriors, the folks who won the weekend here for us. Brought to you by the folks at trydaytrading.com. You too can be a day trader. Just give it a shot. Trydaytrading.com. It's in the name. First one, amazing. Clark Phillips had three picks on Saturday.
He did.
He's tied for the national lead with four picks.
In the nation?
Leads the nation.
Nice.
Leads Ute Nation, leads the nation. Tied for the lead. With interceptions. Here was the pick six that he had on Saturday.
Extra coming. Beavers pick it up, and that's a pick six. Clark Phillips, twice and a quarter.
There it is. Was it as fun in person to watch?
It was so much better. It was so good because his defense was just perfect. I mean, you know, like I said earlier, he earned every single one of those. There was no gift. There was no, you know, tip. Easy. He earned every single one of those by his coverage, by his angle, his pursuit to the ball. I mean, it was awesome. It was very, very impressive.
Scott, did you see my Seahawks?
No.
Did you see my Seahawks beat your Lions?
Are the Seahawks, are they our weekend warrior?
Yeah, man.
You put the Seahawks.
Yeah, man.
Who did this?
Like, I did. I told Jeremy, dial it up.
Goodness.
Dial it up. Hey.
Okay, I can think of 10 other NFL games that would be better than the Seahawks beating who?
Yeah, but you know
who
what?
Who did they beat?
The Detroit Lions. Dan Campbell Lions.
Oh, boy. Well, of course you're going to beat the Lions because the Lions play gritty. That's all they don't play to win. They play to play gritty.
Plus, we have the audio. Here's Geno Smith. He's the starting quarterback for the Seahawks, by the way, Scott.
I can't even believe you're excited about that.
Look, at this point, they've won two games. It's all gravy at this point. Here's one of his touchdown runs from yesterday.
Penny is lined up wide to the left. Geno's going to run a quarterback draw, and he's going to walk in. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Look, you're not going to find what's his name? Jamal Williams. He could have been on the list, too. Former BYU running back. He had a couple touchdowns and ran for over 100 yards for the Lions.
Devon Bailey had a good day.
Devon Bailey did have a good day. Fine, we'll play Devon Bailey one. 7 catches, 94 yards, a touchdown, including this one.
Slant to the 5. Slant is to the goal line. Touchdown, Utah. Effort by Devon Bailey.
Effort.
Another effort play right there.
Yeah. That's what you want. Well, he's got great effort.
You know what else was really nice? The location of the pass. Hit a little slant route. Boom. 12-yard touchdown.
Oh. All right, fine. There you go. Hey, my Seahawks, though. The over-under on that game was 47.5.
Well, this year?
The over-under for the total on that score on that game was 47.5. The Seahawks scored 48 by themselves, and then they tried to give it away, and the Lions ended up with 45. So, hope you took the over, everybody. Although, if you would have taken the under, everybody would have understood. We get it. All right.
Took the under, and you would have been understood.
Well, that's the thing, is that like a game like that, this is why the NFL is amazing. We always talk about how amazing that product is, because you can never really predict how these games are going to go. I mean, it's so amazing how close all these games are every weekend.
Yeah.
And this is one of those.
Because they're all good. I'm just telling you.
All these players are good.
Even the bad teams are good.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled, brought to you by the folks at G2G Bars. Preservative-free, amazing protein bar, meal replacement, whatever you're looking for. The taste is magnificent. It's not your normal, way too grainy tasting, way too chewy protein bar. This is legit stuff here. Proud sponsors of Unrivaled, and they've converted Scott and I on the old G2G bars. We're going to kick off the hour as we always do with the cut. We've got Jeremiah Jensen in studio, so we might as well get right there. Let's go.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
The cut presented by G2G Bars, as I said before. Jeremiah, did you watch any sports this weekend?
A little bit when I had time.
This guy lives in front of the TVs downstairs cutting this stuff up. And
it's a tough life. It's a tough job. Someone's got
to
do it.
We still find a way to complain about it, though. Like,
I volunteer my time.
There's some really, really fun things that happened this weekend.
Oh,
locals,
yeah.
In the NFL.
Awesome.
Utah's big win. BYU's win against Utah State. But the Jazz started a new era with Will Hardy, and I tried my darndest to find the game and just even try to figure out how to watch it, and I couldn't.
Probably better you
and
didn't.
And I was actually disappointed. I'm curious what your thoughts and impressions were from the first preseason game with Will Hardy and the Utah Jazz.
I was able to find it. I did watch it. There were some good things in the first half. Lauri Markkanen's a player.
Yeah.
And
27 points, is that what he ended up with? 20 points?
Yeah. He scored
27
points, 17. Lauri had 17 in the first half, and he's continuing the play he had in Eurobasket for Finland.
Well, the Jazz were just down by a point at the half, and then things fell apart in the third quarter and then continued in the fourth. They ended up losing by 32. But
what's his ceiling, though? Like for Markkanen? Is he
Lauri's ceiling?
Is he a next Euro guy that could potentially be I don't know.
Yeah, what's a comp for him?
He's still young. I don't know if there is one. He's unique. He's a 7-footer that can, get out and run. He can play the 3, he can play the 4, he can play the 5. He's very versatile. He can shoot threes. He can post up. He can do a lot of things.
Is he a good defender?
Maybe that's a knock. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, is he a good defender? Time will tell.
I got the vibe that Kelly Olynyk was still kind of deer in the headlights, like having been traded in the night, you know, on Monday and then shows up Tuesday and was like, this is my new team. Like, to hear that story and how wild it was that he, like, was just, he was working out on Monday on Sunday with the team, gets told, hey, GM wants to meet with you, and then boom, he suddenly is, you know, traded to Utah. I would think that transition, even though these guys are pros, it's still a lot to, you know, a lot of whiplash kind of getting going here. So,
I imagine if you're working your job and all of a sudden you get back from summer vacation and you're ready to go report to work, and someone called and said, hey, you're being transferred from Salt Lake City
across the country
to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And you've got to get on a plane right now and you got to go figure it out.
So I don't know. Maybe with him, it's one of those things where you go, you just have to jump in.
Well, what's your expectation of Kelly Olynyk this
year? And what is it long term? I mean, is he?
Here's my take on preseason game and where the Jazz are at right now. I have no idea what this franchise is going to look like in 3 weeks, let alone 3 months, 3 years. There's so many unknowns with where this is going. That's kind of exciting, though, right? Like, you have no expectations. And it's like in the past when Bogey had a bad game or Donovan was missing a lot of shots or whatever, you'd stress over it so much because this team's got to contend and they got to do this and this and this and this and this. Well, this team doesn't have to do anything.
They just have to develop somebody.
They just have to have a good time and develop and put on a show. Yesterday might be how it goes this season, where they play really good in the first half and one of the guys has an exceptional game, and then all of a sudden the second half, the wheels come off, they can't hit a shot, and they lose. Isn't that kind of how they want this to go?
So not lower expectations, have zero expectations. It's very different.
Well, it is different. It's for people that are really competitive, if you love this team and you live and die by them, watching them lose games is going to be brutal.
Should tickets be discounted for that reason?
Well, who's on the other sideline? That's what'll matter. Should tickets be discounted when they play the Warriors? No. Should tickets be discounted when they play the Lakers? No.
Maybe.
When do they play Cleveland? They play Cleveland at home? Do we know what that day is?
I think that they do.
I don't want to speculate on the radio. I thought it was November, but I could be wrong.
We were looking at it. So Cleveland Cavaliers, December 19th, they come in.
I was close.
No, at home, January 10th.
The home game's January 10th. Okay, there you go.
That one will garner a lot of people.
Rudy's the one that's in November, right?
Yes.
Rudy's coming in November.
And I think that those will always, you know, kind of bring that, and people are going to be there to cheer those guys on. But
yeah, it's still the NBA. The other team's going to have great players. There's going to be stars out there.
What do you think? Because when you have these rotations, everybody's looking to see something, some magical combination or whatever.
Yeah.
But also still not anticipating a lot of wins. And so we live in this weird era. Kind of this weird area of being excited about this team, kind of, but
we're gonna have to relearn how to watch the Jazz.
That's an interesting thought.
Right?
Like, so what's the best way to watch them then in this mode?
I think you're just looking to be entertained in some form. You might even be watching the other team and their star players, but ultimately you're gonna hope for growth. You mentioned it. You hope that one of these guys or two of these guys or three of these guys shows you that they could be a piece for the future that can help this team later on become great after they get this lottery pick secured.
It's so hard, though, when you get used to a Donovan Mitchell and a Rudy Gobert and Bogey, and you cheer for it. Like, you pull them for him.
Right.
Like, you know, you want them to do well, and then they're not there anymore, and you have no history. You don't know the personality. You don't know what these guys are all about. You don't know who's going to be around or who's not. And that's a hard thing to kind of get your mind or your heart wrapped around as a fan of the Jazz.
Well, how weird was it for us? Let's take it back 20-something years. When John and Carl retire, like that was all we knew.
Right.
Forever.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you wake up one day, it's like, wait a minute, this isn't the Jazz team I recognize. And the team they put out on the floor, he didn't have any recognizable anybody other than Andre Kirilenko.
And you're trying to find the player that's going to be the next Malone or the next Stockton.
You're searching for that.
And they always disappoint you. You know, there was no one. You
Chicago Bulls fan since Michael Jordan retired.
I know. Like, I actually was a Michael Jordan fan, and I don't, and it's weird because I actually liked watching the Bulls play, and I haven't liked the Bulls since he retired.
Yeah.
Could care less.
They've been irrelevant.
We're gearing up for an interesting weekend of college football here locally, because the Utes are going to have their biggest, well, hopefully, I think maybe their biggest challenge so far in conference play. They blew up Oregon State over the weekend, and nice showing by Witt and his guys. Heading down to Pasadena with the 5-0 Bruins. How good is UCLA, though? Because we haven't seen much out of and by the way, Chip Kelly's never beaten Kyle Whittingham. So that's there's a thing there. He knows how tough Kyle is. That's one thing. Chip Kelly will relinquish the fact that, you know, yeah, Kyle is a really, really freaking good coach, and that's a guy who's always beaten up on those guys. And just in the last, I think, those meetings between 2016 and last year, the Utes have never scored fewer than 42 points in a game. And so you go, they have a thing going on with UCLA, but this seems different this year. Why?
The Utes own this team for whatever reason. I don't know what it is, but they've owned this matchup for the last while. This one does feel different because UCLA is actually good. They haven't been good for quite a while. They've been very mediocre, somewhere between mediocre and downright bad. And this is the first year they're in the back in the top 25. They just beat Washington, which was a nice win. To be honest with you guys, I have no idea how good Washington is. I have no idea how good UCLA is. Who has UCLA beat so far this year? We don't know that yet, but the fact is they're in the top 25. They're undefeated. They've got guys that I believe are good players. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is a good quarterback. He's an experienced quarterback. He showed that against Washington. If you watch that game, he did some things that you need a star quarterback to do. The running back is outstanding. Where Utah has the advantage is obviously in the trenches. And UCLA has also got good tight ends as well. So there's weapons that this team has that could hurt Utah, especially if the Utes can't figure out how to stop the run. They've got to do that. But I expect Utah to have no issues at the Rose Bowl. But UCLA does look, for the first time in a while, to be a legit good team, and they have a lot of weapons that could hurt the Utes. They have to take this seriously.
I think in the past where it's the matchup, you know?
Yeah.
Because really USC or UCLA is a team that really wants to run the ball first, and everything plays off of that. And Utah in the past has done such a good job of keeping them one-dimensional, but then scoring a lot of points. And so it's put the quarterbacks, whoever they've been, under a lot of duress and a lot of pressure. And I'm sure that's going to be the game plan, you know, whether they'll be able to execute or not. I don't know. And I don't know how good UCLA is. I really don't. I don't know how – your same sentiments. I don't know
how – How do you gauge this team right now?
It's just really, really hard. And it's hard to gauge people from week to week. What was your impression this last week of the Utah defense and some of the standout players – Clark Phillips had an amazing day. A lot of other players. What was your take on Utah's win against Oregon State?
I'll expand that. Both on defense and offense, I felt like this is the Utah team we've been waiting to see all year. I thought they had a really well-rounded performance. Yeah, it was close there early in the second half, and then the ability that the Utes had to blow this game open was really impressive. They're forcing turnovers, interceptions. The defense was very disruptive, and that's what you need to see from a Utah defense, is causing havoc all the time, forcing fumbles, whether they recover them or not, pass breakups, interceptions, all these things. They had it all in that game. And I'll flip it on the other side with the offense. A couple weeks ago I came on here, I was pretty tough on Cam Rising. I didn't think he was very good against San Diego State. He's back. Cam Rising looked like 2021 Cam Rising.
Hey, that's what you said.
Yeah. Spreading the ball all over the place.
Yeah.
Getting out there and running on the edge and stiff-arming dudes and playing with that moxie and toughness that we want to see from him. He looked like the alpha dog finally this year against Oregon State. And that, I thought, was the most promising development out of that game as they move forward. They've got to have Cam play like an alpha. And he did against Oregon State. And that defense was very disruptive. That's what they have to be, and that's what they have to do. They weren't able to be that against Florida, and that's why they lost that game.
And it's a great point about Cam. What it is he's just really decisive. Whatever it is, he's just decisive about it. And when he gets that way, then he gets really accurate. And throwing the ball accurately was like probably the best I've seen him throw at Utah. He was just exceptional.
We were looking at this. We were just chatting about quarterbacks in the NFL real quick here. I just want to ask you, okay. So,
Geno Smith, Alex, for your Seattle Seahawks, is not a quarterback. Fine. So you just come to terms with that.
Fine. Hey, now. Hey, he's one of the guys that wrote him off, but he didn't write back.
Hey,
Here's the deal.
Scott Mitchell wrote him off, but Gio didn't write back.
Well, he wrote me back. It's just in snail mail.
People get grumpy about it, but guess what? Russell Wilson and Geno Smith have won the same amount of games this year, and Geno Smith's actually looked better in those wins than Russell Wilson. Will you stop? Let me have this for 1 minute.
Fine.
Just move on. Move on. And we can't get a good beat on this thing. But who would you rather have right now, Cooper Rush or Jimmy Garoppolo leading your team?
Ooh.
Isn't it funny how those guys win games and owners are still like, yeah, but.
On the surface, because we're caught up in this moment right now with Cooper Rush being 3-0 as a starter.
4-0 going back to last year.
It's Jimmy G, and it's not even close.
Oh,
Jimmy G's been to a Super Bowl. He was a quarter away from winning a Super Bowl. Last year, he was one play away from going back to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years.
This is what I'm going to discount
him. Why does he get so much disrespect?
I'm going to discount him.
He's a winner.
I'm going to discount him in a Donald Trump way. Hold on.
Because he doesn't throw sidearm darts like Patrick Mahomes?
No,
because
he's too good looking.
He's a loser. He's got to the Super Bowl. He's a loser. He loses in the Super Bowl. Worst quarterback I've ever seen at the Super Bowl.
That's what you do. You discount a guy for like pretty good accomplishments that are right there for sure. But I mean, like tonight, we're only watching Jimmy G because they're playing in the Monday Night game against the Rams, and I just don't know how, because they just look at it and they go, yeah, this one's not going well for the 49ers. I'm like, why do they count him? And especially against the Rams, the 49ers for some reason, and part of it is because they're division rivals, but they just know how to show up in a game against the Rams. They know how to scheme the Rams, man.
They still got a great defense. They still got Debo. And Jimmy G knows how to get it done. I don't understand that the 49ers were going to be worse this year with Trey Lance, with the hope that they would get Trey Lance developed and help him become what they need him to become to take the next step. But Jimmy G got him to a Super Bowl, and he got him to an NFC Championship game.
I love it.
2 times in 3 years.
I love having this conversation.
And the Rams are going to have a Super Bowl hangover this year, I'm telling you right now.
Okay, fine. Chase Daniel or Baker Mayfield.
Chase Daniel.
I would love to have Chase Daniel's career, though.
How long has he been cashing checks with a
clipboard?
Yeah. I'm telling you, Scott, you want to get Scott fired up? You bring up the career earnings of Chase Daniel and how many touchdowns he's thrown versus how many millions of dollars.
It's after taxes, $21 million in the bank is what his career.
And he's thrown seven.
Including this year. So he's probably made.
And he's thrown seven career touchdowns. Yeah.
That's Brian Hoyer, who finally gets action. He's like, he breaks this first quarter into play.
Care.
And now how long he's going to be out.
You talk about these different quarterbacks, and the NFL looks at guys, they look at guys differently. So they'll look at a guy like Baker Mayfield. Yeah. That's a starter. Okay, so if Baker Mayfield can't be a starter in the NFL, he's gone. And then
it's
they'll
so
look,
weird.
It's really this will. So they'll look at a guy like Chase Daniel. Well, he's a backup. Like, he's never going to be a guy that's going to win a lot of games for you, going to start on a week-to-week basis, but he's a good guy to have around in a short-term situation. And those guys will play forever. Ryan Fitzpatrick is kind of that journeyman quarterback that's like, okay, we have a pretty decent team. He's the stopgap. He's like a middle reliever in baseball, you know, until we can get to our closer or we get our – you know, our starting pitcher actually ready, you know, get him up to speed. And yet he has this amazing 17-year career, mostly as a journeyman.
Ty Detmer played 15 years in the NFL.
Same thing. Clipboard in hand. JJ,
I actually went through that. And Jim Fossil was coaching. Sorry.
No.
Jim Fossil was coaching at the Giants, and he goes, if I bring you in here, because we have a history, and I've got Kerry Collins, and you're viewed as a starting quarterback, it will put too much pressure on him, and it will be a negative thing.
And so you didn't go.
So I didn't
you
go to
that
the
opportunity
Giants.
To he go said, play I, in a Super
goes,
Bowl.
He goes, I'm just telling you. He says, I'd love to have you. I know who you are, but I know how it is. And
you're a college coach.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's just a thing.
Yeah, but you know what? Because I think you had the same opportunity to go to Dallas, right? And they're like, hey, but your agent wouldn't let you be seen as a backup.
As a backup. So
now it's the only thing I want in my life.
I know.
It's a dream come true to become a backup in the NFL.
That's why I've worked so hard.
Yeah. JJ, the big game, of course, for this weekend with the Utes going down to Pasadena.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got BYU going down to Las Vegas. I mean, you can't ask for a better weekend in terms of visibility for these two teams. These are two games that not just here in Utah we're going to be interested
until
in.
Until next week when BYU plays Arkansas and Utah plays USC.
This is why it's so awesome. I know. This is a great thing.
Yes, the Notre Dame game, this is big.
The black jerseys rolled out today. Everybody's getting pumped for this one.
That was a great reveal, by the way. Kudos to BYU and their staff for making that. That was incredible.
Yeah.
But this is fun. Anytime, I don't care if Notre Dame's 0-5 or 5-0, you say Notre Dame and it's going to get a reaction and you're going to want to play them. And so BYU is going to get a shot at them in a neutral venue. This is going to be fun. This is one of those matchups you look for. I'm sure a lot of people circled this on their calendar when the schedule came out. I'm looking forward to it. And I think BYU, this is a great opportunity for them because the last 2 weeks they have not played well. Fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, yes. For sure. No, certainly Kalani's saying every time, we still haven't put it all together. And then they play again, and they still have maybe even got worse in that Utah State game, or at least it looked like it.
What more motivation does a football team need than to play Notre Dame in an NFL stadium like Allegiant Stadium on a national stage, NBC, right here on KSL? That's going to be such an enormous opportunity for these players. They'll be ready for it, and I think a lot of these issues that they've had the last couple of weeks – they're going to get solved because this team will be motivated like they were against Baylor. It's going to have that same feel to it for them.
Would it have been better for BYU to be in a conference as opposed to going through all of this independence? Knowing where we are now, you don't think it would have been
better? No, not at all. Nope. Unless it was a Power 5, right? So all that they've gone through in independence has helped them prepare them for this moment of joining the Big 12.
Cincinnati kind of was one of those smaller conferences, and they really built quite a program that way. They won their conference. They went.
What's
going
to happen to Cincinnati next year?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just...
I think that BYU is better prepared for the grind...
Because they've gone through this.
...of the Power 5 than Cincinnati will be. Cincinnati plays, what, one or two Power 5 games a year? BYU's been playing a dozen.
Right, and Houston's the same way. Yeah. UCF's a bit of the same way.
BYU's had the experience of playing more Power 5s than any of those teams combined over the last decade. It's going to prepare them better than the other teams will. BYU will have a better jump as long as they can continue to recruit. Although I do worry about, this is a topic for another day, but BYU's going to lose a lot of players this year, and they're going to be young next year, especially quarterback.
Yes.
So next year could be tough, but they will have a better chance of competing and winning that league sooner than the other three.
JJ, you can see him on TV tonight, right, covering everything. You've got a Monday Night Football game that we're going to be watching and keeping a close eye on. And, man, we didn't even get to all the locals in the NFL. So if you want to go and check that out, you can go on to KSLSports.com.
So much to talk about right now.
So much stuff to get into, and we appreciate you coming in, JJ. Love having you on a Monday, man. Let's
go. You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Utes square off against UCLA in a massive Pac-12 showdown this Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hut, hut, hut. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Hey, if you were listening to DJ and PK today, you can be caller number 12 and win the Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Weekend contest. Just give us a call. If you're listening to what play they gave out for the Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Weekend on DJ and PK's show, you've been waiting all day. We're going to give it to you right now. You can call, if you're calling number 12, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. If you heard their play of the weekend, then you could be our winner. An impressive lineup of cars, trucks, and SUVs. No wonder people are switching to Chevy. Your Rocky Mountain Chevy dealers. 801-575-ZONE. Jeremy, you feel generous? Give him a clue?
It happened around 1 p.m. on Saturday, I think. Maybe 2 o'clock.
Okay. Went straight to the time to the time on the clock, huh? Hold on, now I'm starting to think. 1 o'clock on a Saturday. Okay. I know where I was. All right. So, Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers, play of the weekend, as they gave it out. 801-575-ZONE, caller number 12. Wins a prize right now. Scott, remember when Brocco Mendenhall left Virginia? It was like a weird situation, right?
Right.
And he's the type of guy, too, that he's principled enough. He's goofy enough. Is goofy the right word? I mean, he just does things
his
own
way.
Yeah, to his credit, he does things his own way. And I don't knock that. There were some things I didn't like, the way he handled the media, the way he was, you know, his ability to be able to chat with a human being was tough sometimes. But Bronco Mendenhall would be a better option as a head coach than some of these cats who have just been fired. Carl Durrell, latest dude to get shown the door after Colorado's not just lack of winning, but just lack of any sort of hope. Like, when you bring no hope to the program, there's a problem. Because Colorado's not a program that is like, we are – I mean, listen, they won a national championship more recently than Notre Dame and BYU both have, right?
Yes.
But it still is a program that is, you know, third tier in that Pac-12. And so the expectations are pretty low. So Colorado fires Carl Durrell. Nebraska, of course, has that opening because Scott Frost was let go. And then Paul Christ over the weekend, the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, he loses his job. Which one of those would you like for Bronco Mendenhall there, Scott?
Well, I think Bronco would be amazing at Wisconsin, actually. I really do. And I don't think the Big Ten is like this amazing, powerful conference. They're certainly not the SEC. And you've got Ohio State and Michigan. And really, and then kind of a bunch of other teams are about the same. I mean, I think you could do a lot at Wisconsin. They've had success recently. I think of all the schools, Nebraska, Colorado, it would be the easiest one to turn into something that, you know, you could win at. Believe it or not, I think Colorado would be number two.
Yeah, I think Colorado would be good.
And here's why Colorado's good. Pac-12 is going to take a downgrade here in a couple of years when USC and UCLA leave. And it's going to be a conference that is going to be very competitive for a championship, I think. So I just think there's great resources, beautiful campus, big metropolitan area it's a part of. You can recruit in the Texas. You can recruit in California, you know, just by the location of where you are. And if the folks in Colorado decide that they want their program to be good, it could be a good program. I mean, it has a history. It has a tradition.
Proud program. Yeah.
And same with Nebraska. I mean, they're very similar. Nebraska definitely has more of a tradition. For me, though, it just seems really hard in today's world to get kids to go to Lincoln, Nebraska. I mean, and I think a lot of it has to do with NIL. And, you know, it's just...
You don't think that Nebraska donors are pitching in to a collective to be a part of this thing? I mean, come on.
The problem is Nebraska folks are all over the country. You know, they're not in the immediate area, and I think that creates a little bit of a challenge. But any one of these programs potentially could be a really good spot for a coach. You get it done right, you could be successful.
Bronco says he wanted to take a little break, step back, relax. Refresh, kind of reset his sights. But he says he actually wants to be back, apparently, into the coaching world by next season. It'd be a good time. I'm telling you, I was shocked. I'm not shocked. I mean, Bronco had amazing success at BYU, but I felt like as a head coach, that BYU was kind of the only place he was really going to see that much success. I mean, Virginia was happy with this guy. Yeah, they weren't happy with how he left.
No, but he did a nice job.
But he did a great job compared to what they've seen in the past. Yeah. Virginia is not a football school. And he has at least gotten to the point where people looked and they went, hey, he was respectable. He's getting them into bowl games, getting them into the Orange Bowl. And so I think college football is better with Bronco Mendenhall in it. And that's not really loving his time here at BYU. But if you're a BYU fan, you have to – look at the fact that the guy won 99 games in 11 years. That's pretty darn good. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Around the corner, we have Devin Kaufusi, part of our Players Club, of course, brought to you by Zions Bank. That's coming up. You'll be able to get the download from Devin on the win this weekend over Oregon State and then looking forward to UCLA.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome in. It's unrivaled right here. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Jeremy, did we give away the Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers Play of the Weekend? Okay. So you can't win it this week. Have to wait till next week again. You hear it on Monday mornings with DJ and PK. You get the winning announcement to for that call on Monday afternoons on our show, and then you can get it. So there you go. Our show, as always, brought to you by the folks at G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. You guys, these taste fantastic. We're converting people all the time on the G2G Bar for meal replacement, all sorts of things. Get them at your Costco's. Get them at your Associated Foods, Holiday Oil, Maverick. Let's jump in, though, right now. It's that time of the week. We get to chat with one of our players from the University of Utah. And, of course, tomorrow you get to hear from Jaren Hall from the BYU side of things. But let's get in with Devin Kaufusi right now in the Utes' big win over Oregon State last weekend.
This is your chance to get college football insight straight from the source.
Go line, let's go!
This is the Players Club as we talk football with some of the biggest stars in the state. Now joining Unrivaled from the University of Utah, Devin Kaufusi. The Players Club is presented by Zions Bank.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of the Players Club right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, Unrivaled, brought to you by the folks at Zions Bank. Big-time banking with the hometown feel that you know that you're going to get from the folks at Zions Bank. And joining us every week, thanks to our sponsorship and appreciate him taking time every week, Devin Kaufusi of the University of Utah. Devin, big win over Oregon State. Did you get that revenge win that you were talking about you wanted so much last week?
Oh, so yes, so sweet, so much sweeter, and in such a good fashion too. So yeah. It was really good.
So it was a relatively I don't know, blowout, I guess you could kind of say. Did that surprise you a little bit? I mean, because you saw how well they played against Oregon or against USC the week before. Jonathan Smith has turned a corner with that program, and I think they're pretty good, but. Were you surprised at the outcome?
Getting a win, not surprised there. We had a really good week of practice. Like I said, in the manner of winning. It really blew the top off in the third quarter, and it just made it that much sweeter, especially, like I said, just on the revenge tour, getting those guys back.
Do you guys do like, we do because it's our job, and I like him. I've sort of trained my kids to be a little bit the same way. When that Sunday 2 p.m. Eastern AP poll drops, like I'm always right there just staring at that thing. Do you guys look at that and go, okay, every place that we can tick up a little bit in the polls right here, it's going to benefit us going forward because we need people to be talking about Utah week after week. As soon as you start to get into week eight, then the college football playoff rankings come out. Do you guys look at those as much as, you know, I guess what I'm asking is, are you guys lying when you say, oh, we don't pay attention to those things?
No, we definitely see it. It's always, you know, it's always fun and rewarding to see, you know, kind of the hard work pay off. It's also good to see, you know, where everyone else is. And so you kind of peek ahead of the schedule and see, you know, who we got and where they're at and stuff. And it kind of also sets the setting for that game.
One of the things that really jumped out at me was, like, there's just tremendous effort by guys in this game. I can give you about 20 examples.
Oh yeah.
Junior Tafuna, who's a defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. They throw a bubble screen, right? Or a flanker mm-hmm. screen, whatever you want to call it. And Junior Tafuna's in on the tackle. So he runs from being a defensive tackle, and those guys don't run a lot. You're one of them.
I was going to say, right? Don't offend him too much, you know?
No, it's just okay, let me put it to you this way. Of all the guys on the defense, the least likely guy to run out and make that tackle is the defensive tackle.
But they're not expected to either.
No, it's not their job. It's not their job description, right? Running is not in your job description, right? It's not. Uh-huh. But here Junior Tafuna is out on the edge. In on the tackle, like when the tackle's happening too. It's not like you know, he gets there way late, and that just jumped off of the tape to me, along with so many other guys. Why is it this way? I don't know that I've seen that kind of effort ever.
Yeah. Oh, man, I mean, like we said, just like on the culture of the defense, you know, that relentless, smart, nasty ball. Actually, it always comes back to that. And running to the ball will never change for a defense. And like you said, you know, especially if you're an interior lineman, maybe not expected or it is surprising to see. But in our room and stuff, we understand like screens, especially like that, like we can make a big difference there. And honestly, it's nice getting out in the open field, being a big guy, getting a clean shot, you know, instead of trying to barrel through the offensive line. But it's just that effort and that desire that's been really coming together for the boys. It was fun to watch film this morning, the breakdown and seeing all these effort plays. And a big junior hauling. You know, we had Smote Pepa down there at the goal line too. He was hauling and moving too. I think people just love seeing all the big bodies on the move.
Clark Phillips III with I mean, what's interesting about Clark is he comes in initially in his career, and I'll be first to say, I mean, his very first interview was on our show when he walked into town. We had a connection with his family, and we were like, hey, there he's coming in. Let's chat with him. This is a highly touted dude coming in. And I remember thinking, he's got these crazy lofty goals because he's an insane goal setter, and he does them, obviously. But there was that part of me that went, a little undersized. There are guys who walk in who have big dreams all the time. He has three picks on Saturday. It's a historic day for a DB, for a Utah DB. And he's got, you know, two pick sixes now in his career. And a day like that, how is that guy like looked at in the locker room? When he comes in and when he comes to the sideline or whatever, how important is his leadership and his role on the team? And how impressed have you been with him as he's kind of grown up in the program the last couple of years?
Oh, huge. I've been so impressed, you know, especially, you know, see Cheers being able to get closer to him. He's just a machine, and you just tell he has that deep desire to really have these goals work out for him. You know, he's just a guy that eats and sleeps football, you know, taking care of his body. It's just all paying off. So, like, you know, after big plays like that on the sideline, it's huge, you know. And like I said, to go back and have, you know, not just one pick, but two picks, one for a touchdown in such a big game. You know, everyone loves to see it. You know, to Clark, though, it's no surprise because he works so hard at his position. And it really is such a tough position, you know. I mean, every position on the field has their own, you know, expectations or things I needed to do. But, you know, in our defense, having lockdown corners, you know, that are ball hawks, you know, that could come down and show up in the run game is, you know, it makes the defense that much sweeter. And Clark does all that to such a high level.
And it's a great point because R.J. Hubert and Cole Bishop were just amazing in the run support. And R.J., you mm-hmm. know, had a really, you know, he's another one of those effort guys. The thing about Clark's interceptions that was so impressive to me was he earned them all. Right. They were just mm-hmm. it was great technique, great read on his part. And he just did a tremendous job of driving mm-hmm. to the football and on a great angle. You know, sometimes you get uh-huh. interceptions where it's a really bad throw or a tip ball or something. Like he earned uh-huh. all three of those. Like, and that was yes. just a massively impressive thing to watch in the game on Saturday.
Would you keep throwing to him if you're quarterback out there, Scott?
Let me tell you something about throwing to DBs that pick balls off, okay? Everybody has their kryptonite. You just have to learn. You have to learn. Even Clark Phillips, and he's really good. But I threw against Deion Sanders, who is now Coach Prime, right? But it yes. was in his prime time.
Well, he's in the Hall of Fame, but it's like the upper echelon right. of the Hall of Fame.
He's in his own Hall of Fame, right. too. He's, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You just have to learn. You have to learn where to throw the ball against those. And even Deion. Deion was a guy who didn't like you to throw the ball to the inside. He was like, I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to score a touchdown if I pick that off. So why bother?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Why bother? Exactly.
But speaking of quarterbacks right throwing interceptions, oh. there was a quarterback change in the game due to an injury. How much did that impact what you guys were doing, your schemes? And what did it cause any kind of disruption, or did it throw you guys off at all?
Not really. You know, we're all trying to get after the quarterback, especially, you know, when they're running. You know, we saw that with San Diego State. And I think it showed up in our ASU game. You know, we expected ASU to have more, you know, active quarterback plays, you know, on the edge or some draws. But like I said, when teams see that effort, like with Junior running, you know, Zamai Vaughn, you know, guys flying in, RJ flying in to really, you know, make a big hit, it definitely has an effect on the game. And so for them, you know, we just knew Oregon State runs the ball, and, you know, they came in and still ran the ball really good with the quarterback change. But up front as a defense, you know, we wanted to throw. And so we just had to stop that run, get them to throw. We didn't think they were, you know, great passers and stuff. As long as we, you know, get them off his spot, you know, put some pressure on him in the, by collapsing the pocket. You know, our corner trusts us up front to, you know, put that pressure on, and then we trust them to, you know, be a ball hawk and go out and high point the ball and get that interception. So it's really just that team feeling. Just working together and just outdoing them, and it's, especially the quarterbacks, it's so valuable. I mean, we've had our quarterback slumps the past years and stuff. You know, we saw the change with Charlie and Cam, and it's a quarterback world. We talk about in defense, Scott. It's, today's game is just even more of an offensive world than a quarterback. How important it is!
It is. You look at the Pac-12 and all the good teams
right now
have transfer portal quarterbacks that are playing well. I was worried. I was worried, Devin. Because Nolan was throwing interceptions, and I was like, why do you want to get him out of the game? Let's keep him in there because he's the gift that keeps on giving. But then, you know, the other guy, he came through. He came through. He threw some picks.
Other guy.
Yes.
So, interestingly enough, too, Devin, we were looking at some of these. I was trying to look at last year versus this year. And where you guys were in your heads at this point last year, and you start winning games when you're 5 weeks into the season last year, you know, you guys were 3-2, and had actually gotten to the point where it kind of felt like something was turning a corner here. Do you feel where are you guys at right now? Like, that was the Pac-12 winning team from last year. Where's you guys' heads right now at 4-1, number 11 in the country, and able to kind of make your own destiny and all that, but really, Coach Whittingham talked about UCLA being a barometer this week. But like, where do you guys feel like you're at compared to, because you know what it feels like to be a championship team? So where are you on that path this year? Do you feel like things are clicking now like they were last year?
Yeah, I'd say not just clicking, but have clicked. You know, after that Florida loss, especially our defense. You know, ever since that, it's been a huge turnaround, and so. We'll keep it clicking by stacking these weeks, you know, win after win. But I think it's the focus of the hard work, and Coach Way has emphasized that. And it's what you want to see as a head coach is, you know, you win the game early on in the week during practice. So just really keeping that locked in mentality. And it's really nice seeing it all pay off like that and in such big ways, you know, in dominating fashion. And so it really just, you know, encourages the guys like, hey, like, let's just keep doing what we're doing, you know, each week, each practice, trust the process, you know, have the locked in practice, you know, give it your all. And then come game time, you know, you have that confidence of, you know, making plays or the confidence in your teammates out on the field as well. Each week's kind of a barometer, definitely what Coach Wood said. And like I said earlier, as the college football season goes on, it's, you know, it starts to take form of, you know, who's who and who's what. And so UCLA is one of those teams, you know, that we've seen this year. You know, they've had a huge turnaround, and we were all watching that game, them watching in the hotel. And we'll definitely go in today and get to work and just have that focus. We've got our work cut out for sure, but, you know, that focus and the intensity that we bring, similar to what we did with Oregon State, you know, I think we can really do that to every team this year.
One of the things that I thought was really good about the game on Saturday was your red zone defense. And it was like once they got down in the red zone, I think they had one touchdown on the day, but they kicked a lot. They either kicked field goals or they threw interceptions. What was kind of tightening up, or what kind of adjustment were you guys doing when you got down in the red zone not to let them in the end zone?
A huge part of football, and you know, as well as a quarterback, just having that situational awareness. And I think that's something Coach Scali does best, is we go through all the situations and all the possibilities throughout the week of practice. And so when we when a big play does hit and stuff, and you can be flustered trying to run down, you know, you just kind of flip that switch. Like, okay, big play was made. We're down the red zone now. This is what I can anticipate or expect, you know, whether from the offense or what call coach is going to play. And it really just shows the film study, aspect, and what it does for players and for the team. So adjustments were made. I mean, we understand that, you know, that they have that number 12. He comes in and runs the ball in the red zone, or right. Comes under center. Some tricky stuff. Like I said, like RJ's pick. I mean, first you have Zamaya, hawk down the player,
yep.
In a foot race. And then next play, you know, Zamaya steps up again in that man coverage. And then, you know, you have RJ just reacting to, you know, his man in blocking, RJ knowing to sink and to look for work. And it just all comes together so beautifully.
It was excellent.
Devin Kaufusi is our Players Club interview every week right here from the University of Utah, brought to you by Zions Bank. And Devin, I wanted to kind of go the direction of asking you a little bit about, you know, when the concussions and football injuries kind of float to the top of the news pile, like in the mainstream news, you know,
yes.
we've had more people talking about concussions over the last few days than we've maybe seen. And it's already a hot topic. And the Tua injury from the first week, and then not saying it was a concussion and all those things. And then the second week, you have this awful, like on TV, you just couldn't avoid it. I was talking to my brother-in-law yesterday, and he goes, that Thursday night football usually shouldn't be rated R, but that felt like it was a violent, you know, it's just tough to watch that kind of thing. I was wondering what you guys as players, like, what do you think when you go on in your career and you go, we know that this sport's violent. How do you reconcile like some of the, you know, head trauma that you guys experience and how do you mitigate that stuff? How does the school try to help you guys manage that stuff? And do you think that they do a good enough job? Do you think that football in America does a good enough job protecting you guys?
For sure. You know, the nature of the sport is what it is. It's a violent sport. Even with the helmets, you know, you see these just major collisions. In Utah, you know, for example, this offseason, I think, you know, it's in the news, kind of those goofy padded caps on our practice helmets.
Yeah. They do look goofy.
So, like, they look goofy for sure. But I've noticed a big difference in the help of those and or the changes of helmets that have been developed to help quarterbacks or linemen, really anyone on the field, you know, to really mitigate that concussion. And then we understand the protocol as well. You know, our training room staff, you know, takes this, you know, a huge process, I'm trying to say, of day in, day out. In today's world, the sports changed a lot, you know, since back then. You can tell with, like, the rules of the quarterback, keeping them safe, you know, how to hit a quarterback, mm-hmm. you know, all the targeting calls and stuff. So with how much football is being played, I think it could be worse and stuff, but I think it's definitely going in the right direction of, you know, keeping the sport, you know, safe and competitive for everyone.
Devin, this week you guys prepping for another trip down to the Rose Bowl. Hey, that should be fun. First trip back since you guys actually were playing in a Rose Bowl. This UCLA team, I watched that entire Washington UCLA game on Friday night, and I was watching with a lot of interest, obviously because Utah's going to be playing this week, but also I grew up a Husky fan, so I was like, you know, watching this thing, and Washington started to look a little bit better. Imagine too, like here we are, UCLA's 5-0. And ranked number 18 today. Washington's 4-1. They're ranked 21st. Oregon's 12. You guys are 11. And then USC's 6. The Pac-12 is performing really, really well this year. I think it was really great for the conference. When you see that UCLA team, what stands out? Because they've historically been, you guys just get them. I mean, so Chip Kelly knows that Kyle Whittingham is a thorn in his side and he preps for his team. But what's different about this UCLA team that's now 5-0 and you guys are playing down at their place this weekend?
Honestly, it's like I said earlier, it's a quarterback world. And last year, you know, DTR wasn't there. And he had himself a game against Washington. And so, you know, them just having leadership, step up and, you know, and lead that team, you know, players trusting coaches trusting players and, you know, and here they are 5-0. So I think you know, watching the Washington game and the film, you know, the O-line returns as last year, really, from us, what we've broken down and everything. But, you know, every week in, week out, it's college football. You never know who's going to win. And, you know, anyone could get beat. But I really think UCLA has really just turned a corner and seeing that leadership and that flow of a winning team really come into play. So for now, I'd say it's that difference. As the week goes on, you know, I could probably be able to tell you more as we break down or really get into UCLA.
I want to go back to last week's game really, really quick for one more thought. Mm-hmm. Because in watching the game, like, I thought Oregon State's offensive line was really good. I thought they were the best offensive line you guys have faced all year. Compared to last year, was this a better line than it was a year ago? Was it less? Are you guys better? But I just I'm really impressed with how they know how to run block.
Oh yeah, they do. I think this year, I think we definitely just got better in understanding who we're playing as Oregon State, especially after that tough loss to them back at home. But yeah, their offensive line, you know, Coach Stewart, the running back coach over there, I knew him when I was down at BYU, so I saw him after the game again. You know, he trains up those running backs to run hard. The offensive line at Oregon State, they just work so well, and you almost see this trust in each other, and the trust of, you know, picking up blocks, you know, staying on pass, staying on track, low pad level. So great offensive line. Yeah, we definitely know that it's probably one of the better offensive lines we'll see all year.
UCLA, like we were talking a little bit about this, or at least when I was watching this game, I'm watching them going, hey, you know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson has been a guy that every year, year in and year out,
he's been at UCLA longer than Britton Covey was at Utah.
Hey man, no, this guy's tough. He's talented. Oh no, now he's tough. He's talented. Now he's got the experience.
Exactly.
It's like every year you come in, you're like, okay, now he's going to do it. But he really does look better than we've seen him ever in his career. And you guys are facing, I mean, that's going to be a tough, tough challenge. So roll out what a mobile, extremely good throwing quarterback throws at you guys as a challenge. And how do you guys, you know, attack UCLA usually? I would think it would be similar game plans you've had in the past.
Yeah, for sure. Just as talented as he is, you know, it comes down to our game plan versus their game plan and our technique versus their technique. Running, you know, all-star running quarterback. And what really stands out, because at the quarterback level, I mean, it's not new if we're facing running quarterbacks, but he is just a competitor. Watching him in that Washington State game, I mean, he was in it. He wanted to win really bad. I saw him talking and everything, and it's what you love to see out of a quarterback, is just someone that's, you know, that's taking control, that's in the driver's seat and is going for it all.
How much?
So, yeah.
How much does going to the Rose Bowl, even though it's not the Rose Bowl, like is it as exciting to go into that iconic stadium? And will that be kind of almost like, yeah, we're almost at home here? You know, this is a fun field to play on. It's historic. We were in the Rose Bowl a year ago. Do you think that'll play into your psyche this week at all?
I think it's definitely something that we noticed and felt, just understanding, you know, it's just reminding us of, you know, where we've come from or where we've been and where we want to go. And so it'll be fun down there. I know UCLA used to not, you know, it's a big stadium and not a lot of fans, but, you know, with a 5-0 record, I just wanted to be, you know, an electric night over there in Pasadena.
You guys are prepping for this game and all the ones you do. Obviously, so much work goes into it. What do you guys do to have fun, though? Like, how do you carve out time during a season like this to go? Because I feel you're one of the more fun dudes on the team, I feel like. But you're also one of the veteran ones that kind of knows how to go, hey, I know where to carve out the time. I know where we can do this. So how does the team have fun together? Because I would imagine in the season, you guys don't do a lot of hanging out outside of the team.
Yeah, honestly, for example, you know, this past weekend having the afternoon game and getting done, we were in the group chat with the leadership council of the guys, and everyone's like, hey, we haven't done something, you know, all big together. You know, everyone has their, you know, their cliques on their team, so to say, or like, you know, their group of guys. But, I mean, we should all just come together and, you know, just hang out and enjoy the win. And so this past weekend, it was fun. You know, having the boys over, and it's my greatest joy is seeing, you know, everyone happy after a win, and just knowing that the hard work paid off, and like you really just enjoy it. This time of year, you know, some haunted houses. We might have to get some of the guys to go to a haunted house at some time.
What these guys have now is money.
You guys can
kind of have a lot more fun.
Take the dollar movie.
Take your mom and Steve out to dinner, would you? I mean, gosh, you got rolling in all this NIL money. Come on.
You guys at least take them to the pie, aren't you guys doing some weird? I saw a video of you guys, you and Gabe Reed, and I think it was Dalton, all eating a bunch of pizza at the pie. Yeah. Come on, what the heck, dude? Zero sharing.
I love going out to eat. I mean, everyone on the team has to be eating and stuff, so everyone's always asking, you know, hey, where are we going to eat? You know, Thursday nights are really fun because, you know, 40-hour rule begins. You know, the kind of the more physical side of the week is done, so it's really just, you know, bringing it together. So Thursday nights are always a good night. You know, everyone understanding, you know, Friday we take off and Saturday is a game day. So Thursday we kind of have a good family dinner, so to say.
Devin Gafusi, another week in the books. The 4-1 Utes traveling down to Pasadena and taking on the UCLA Bruins. We're excited for this one. And Devin, stay healthy as usual. We want to have you back next week and talking about another win. So thanks for being with us, man.
Yes, will do. Thank you guys so much.
Good luck, buddy.
All right, more to go around the corner.
Thanks, y'all.
Stay right here. More to go, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone. It's been the Players Club brought to you by Zions Bank. Stay around the corner. We've got NFL Roundup. We've got the 2-minute drill. Right here, 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
What is that?
And the other guy. On 97.5 VKSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the NFL Roundup. It's unrivaled, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. NFL Roundup brought to you by Online Trading Academy. Teaches people just like you to make the same moves that the Wall Street elites make at the same time they do. Sign up for their 3-day market timing course for only $99. That's $99 to the number 25029. That's $99 to 25029. Scott, let me see here. Oh, we get the peek in. Oh, this is fun, right?
Yeah, Aaron Judge. Is this the last day of the regular season?
No, I think they have a couple games left.
Got a few games left.
They might have three. I think some teams have.
So on the TV now, we're seeing Aaron Judge is alive looking at bat against the Texas Rangers.
So we're watching the Rams and 49ers warm up for Monday Night Football, and then you got Aaron Judge facing the Texas Rangers. They're in Texas too. It's a bummer because he's not doing this in New York. Most of their games have been on the road to finish out the season. You know what's funny about this? This type of coverage of Aaron Judge's home run chase has kind of actually made me forget that the playoffs, like all these things that are going on. I knew the Mariners were going to the playoffs. I was like, where are even the Yankees in the East? And they're at the top of the standings there.
Yeah.
So live look at four games for them. Doubleheader tomorrow. He's not going to get it done tonight. He just lined out and double played on that at bat. So he's terrible.
Well, hit it hard.
You just hit into a double play, kid. Come on, grow up. We're waiting for you to hit number 62. Do you think that? I mean, they say that Roger Maris, Scott, his hair was falling out during that season.
Yeah,
he
was really struggling.
He was stressed out big time because that wasn't the standard that he was living up to, and the record he was going to break was Babe Ruth's freaking record.
Well, but it was also that people hated him because he wasn't Mickey Mantle. Like,
right.
They wanted Mickey Mantle to do it. They didn't want Roger Maris to do it.
So weird.
So there's a lot of hate for him for doing well.
People are the worst.
They are.
Scott, NFL Roundup.
Yes.
You got this Monday Night Football matchup tonight between the 49ers and the Rams?
Yes.
I love the NFC West matchups like this. This is why we sign up for this thing, and I think
this is a good matchup. This is a great game.
It's a really, really good matchup. Yeah. I was bummed yesterday because even though I don't like the Broncos, hate when guys go down with injuries. Javonte Williams suffered an ACL tear against the Raiders. It was a weird like injury too. I saw it happen, and sometimes you go, oh, look at him. He planted. Oh, right there, it bent weird.
Yeah,
it looked like nothing. It looked like nothing. And then Scott, of course, the one I really wanted to get to. Got some audio on this one as well.
There's a couple I want to get to.
Yes. Zach Wilson, he goes out there, and you and I watched these highlights today because I wanted to get your vibe on it. But he leads his team down there in the fourth quarter to get a W on the road in Pittsburgh.
Zach Wilson takes the shotgun snap, jet sweep. It's a reverse. It'll be a throw from Berrios to Zach Wilson for the touchdown. Razzle dazzle from the Jets. A reverse option pass. Berrios to Wilson. A jet touchdown.
How cool is that you create a play that like now becomes so
everyone does it,
but not only do they do it, it's successful. Zach Wilson was amazing in this game in the sense that he was terrible in the like he completed 33% of his passes in the first like three quarters, and then when the game was on the line,
he
was like 85%, and he was just a totally different player. And in all reality, that's the sign of someone that you know what you probably can hang your hat on. You want guy because the NFL is always close. And you need people that can come in and close and that can make big plays, can do it under the most intense pressure and do it at a tough place. I mean, Pittsburgh's a hard place to play. They're a good football team. He hadn't played in forever. And he, you know, he kind of pulled it together and found a way to win the game. And that's a good sign.
Even the most ardent Jets fans are like, this is our guy. We knew it. This is finally a franchise quarterback. And I'm like, that was a great performance over the weekend. Let's slow the roll here.
Right, that's Coach Hill. Relax, it was just one game.
Relax, kid. Here's the piece of audio. Now, if you listened to us last week, and maybe you criticized Scott Mitchell for trying to make football too easy and dumbing it down to the point of, you guys, it's really simple. And then this week, Scott runs in, bursts through the door.
Darn right I did.
And we
got third party validation
It's not just third party validation.
From the GOAT.
It's TB12 validation because Scott mentioned, hey, listen, you run the ball either up the middle or off the tackles around the edge. But you just go where the guys are not. Please.
Exactly. It's that simple.
And then Scott found this clip of Tom Brady during the Manning cast talking about that same philosophy of keep it simple, stupid.
You know, I believe that if they're all inside, go outside. If they're all outside, go inside. If they're all deep, they throw it short. If they're short, you know, if they're all short, throw it deep. So, I don't know, you gotta have enough flexibility with an offense to do whatever. So,
isn't that brilliant?
Okay, so what was it?
If they're all inside, run it outside.
Let me get your notebook out. Let me get your notebook.
If they're all inside, run it outside. If they're all outside, run it inside.
If they're on the outside, I want to run it outside to them.
Yes, and. No. And then when you throw it, if they're all deep, throw it short. If they're all short, throw it deep. Why are you making it so hard, people? I mean, it's just a game.
This is what I love. When professional athletes or former professional athletes go, it's not that tough, you guys.
It's not that hard.
Man.
I mean, you have to have the ability to do it to begin with, but once you have that ability, don't overcomplicate
it. Tom Brady, by the way, speaking of a guy who makes it look easy, they lost this game yesterday, but he was like, he threw for 385 yards, completed like 78%.
He had to throw 52 passes.
He threw 52 passes.
Which is too many. It's too many.
Three touchdowns, no picks. Yeah, you got to get Leonard Fournette's freaking game going. Oh, they're doing the classic shot of
Lombard Street.
Of Lombard Street there in San Francisco.
You ever been
down
Lombard Street?
No, I've walked up it. Oh. I've walked up it. I've driven it. The drive looks terrible.
No, it's an iconic thing you do in San Francisco.
That's one you got to take like the San
Francisco.
You know what? My little Volkswagen Golf would be perfect right there.
Oh, it'd be the best car to take there. Yeah. Manual? Yes. Yeah. Easy.
San Francisco's overrated.
Actually, driving in downtown or in the city of San Francisco with a stick shift, that would be scary.
You're using
the parking brake, dude.
No, look, on the golf.
You get up on that hill and you got the parking brake on.
Here's how they make manual transmissions.
Once you put that foot off the brake, man, you're going to go
down
the hill.
Here's how they make these manual transmissions now. And this is not even that new of a car. But I noticed it the other day. I was on a little bit of a hill. It has an auto brake thing.
It keeps you without having to do it.
Remember when you were a kid, you're like, trying to get that thing going.
Pull the parking brake.
Ease it out slow. This one was they have it built in now to where if it's on a certain angle, it knows to keep that brake on.
That's cheating. That's too easy. Make people work.
Go down Lombardo Street. That's where you take your driver's test. All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. We've got our couple things going on. We've got our two-minute drill right around the corner that you don't want to miss. Andrew Wasatch Medical Clinic is going to join us again. And we've got, look, some discussions to have about Bryce Young, about Colorado firing their coach, about Wisconsin firing their coach, and all sorts of things going on. All right, we'll come back. More to go around the corner in 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. The Aggies welcome the Air Force Academy to Logan for a key Mountain West Conference battle. Catch all the play-by-play action this Saturday, beginning with the Aggie pregame show on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hut, hut, hut. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's Unrivaled. It's a two-minute drill right here on the program. Short time in it because that's what we need. I'm looking at the screen here. John Hamm and Jalen Hurts are both going to be guests on the Manning cast tonight on Monday Night Football. That's must-see TV right there.
Yeah.
Coming off of an SNL skit where they made fun of Peyton and Eli, both guys who have hosted SNL, by the way. So, turn heads with your newer used Cadillac from Dre Steiner Cadillac. Cadillac owners have changed over the years, but luxury has not. Check out and test drive a Cadillac today at Dre Steiner Cadillac. Fire up the old 200 drum music. That means we're getting close to the end of this hour here, Scott. So tell us what a 2-minute drill is.
I'll be happy to. Late in the football game, you're going to go down the field, kick the goal, score a touchdown, don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show is the same way. Still have a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time. Talk a little bit about a lot of things. All right, finished show, go home happy with the trophy, because everyone gets a trophy and a plethora of desserts that include chocolate souffle, flan from Spain, key lime pie from Florida, gelato from Italy, baklava from Greece, and, of course, some cake from
Walmart.
There
you go.
Yeah, Walmart, that company that hired Daniel Hackett for the Broncos.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Nathaniel?
Yeah.
What did I call
matter.
Him?
Scott, doesn't matter what his first They're name
calling
is.
Daniel?
He won't be around long enough for Aurelius to know his name.
He won't be around long enough to eat all those desserts.
Jerry Jones
is crazy enough, Alex.
What? That he would
name Cooper Rush the starting – is it Cooper Rush?
Yeah, it's Cooper Rush. You got it.
Starting quarterback for the rest of the season if he keeps winning. I'm just telling you. He's just the kind of guy that just wants
Is
and
he, though?
Loves. Yes.
I think he loves 1,000%. I think he loves saying stuff right now, but I don't think he
You know why he wants to do it? Because he wants to look like Robert Kraft.
Oh,
he
like wants to I'm look just like, Oh, like I'm a genius.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a genius. I know where I picked this kid up in the later rounds because I'm the GM. Yeah. You guys know that, right?
Yeah.
Bryce Young, Alabama's young quarterback, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, is ruled as day to day here.
Garrett Bowles
with the jump.
Oh my goodness.
Garrett Bowles.
He's trying to tackle a ghost.
Garrett Bowles is considered one of the great athletes at the offensive line position in the league.
That's bad. That is bad right there.
That's a move you make when you try to dive for a guy when you know that it doesn't matter.
Right.
But you forget the fact that you're on TV. Seen by millions of people. It's fine. So let's get you up to speed on the firings. Colorado has fired Carl Durrell. We chatted with him a couple times at Pac-12 Media Day, and I always thought, I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to turn around.
I thought he was.
This is going to be the year.
Yeah.
No such luck. Colorado's as bad as a Pac-12 team as we've seen since, the 2020 and 2019 Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah.
Who also were very, very bad, but they turned it around.
Hold on just a second. We're watching TV. I can't let this slip.
Scott's watching.
I can't let this slip.
What are you, why? Why?
These guys are doing Monday Night Countdown on ESPN, yes. So it's
RG3.
Larry Fitzgerald.
And then some guy named Alex Smith in the middle of them.
Steve Young, yes. Right? And it's San Francisco, okay?
Right.
Who photobombs them in the back? Jerry Rice.
Oh, he did?
That's Jerry Rice is right there.
He's in the very far
he's
back.
Standing
and he's
in
like,
the background.
What's up?
Totally,
he's like, what's
totally
up? And he's there with like, I don't know, he's there with like the NFL Network or something. Because
something.
He's just standing in the back hoping to be seen. Yeah, that's a, you don't get enough attention?
What a great photo bomb right there.
That's like the best photo bomb.
Yeah, it's like, get him on.
He's like, yeah, you guys have a bunch of pretty good guys over there, some Hall of Famers.
Get all these guys out of here. Get Jerry Rice in
I'm the real MVP. All right.
Anyways, I thought that was
there
fun.
There you go.
Sorry.
No, don't you dare apologize. Jerry Rice photobombing a bunch of former San Francisco 49ers. And,
you know.
You'd feel pretty inadequate.
Two of these
were,
five people here are Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and Alex Smith is like no slouch. RG3 must feel a little bit. Susie Colbert, I think, has as many touchdowns thrown in the NFL as he does.
He's got a lot of personality.
Yeah.
And he's a Heisman Trophy winner.
He is. Yeah.
And then there's Booger McFarland.
He's old Booger. Hey, don't make fun of the D lineman. Come on.
Most of the time, they don't put Booger in the shot. I mean,
you don't want Booger in a shot. That's what my mom always said. Right.
Booger, you stand on the end over here. Most of the time, you'll be off the camera.
Booger, you know what? Oh, my.
What is his name? Adam Schefter?
Adam Schefter is definitely the biggest nerd on the planet.
Completely.
Standing in those guys. Yeah. He's 4.5 inches shorter than Susie Colbert. She's like 4'11".
Yeah.
That's no good. All right. Let's take the break here.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Attention.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. What kind of a helmet is George Kittle wearing tonight? Scott, look at that thing.
That's a Stormtrooper helmet.
That is wild looking.
It's like a retro futuristic look, though.
It is funny looking.
Yeah.
And look, I know this is radio, so it's hard to describe, but you've seen those helmets that have the full integrated eye shield into the helmet. This is not that. This is like that weird. It's almost like they put a bigger frontal lobe on it. I don't know, for more protection, I guess.
It looks like a motorcycle helmet or
what he looks like?
Snowmobiling helmet.
Scott, you know what he looks like? Worf from Star Trek.
Yes.
Right? With the tall, bumpy
big
forehead.
Big bump on the forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad we – you know what? I threw that reference out there and just hoping that you weren't going to go, I've never seen that. Because I – it's not like I was
I know what
much
you're talking about. Gotcha.
I love it. Scott, the Dolphins today have come out and said that Tua Tagovailoa is actually ruled out for week 5 in their game against the Jets. I think about teams right now who could not have had a worse PR storm disaster. And this Dolphins team having to deal with the Tagovailoa stuff. The independent doctor was fired by the NFL, the one who allowed him to be cleared after that first week of a concussion. It looked like a concussion. Not a lot of answers coming out of this whole thing, but in the end, I mean, they had to rule him out. I think that they just know anything is a really, really bad look. They're going to have to take their time with this because if they don't, anything will look like they're being super irresponsible with Tagovailoa. It's a bad position.
Yeah, what's so bad for me, or what I don't understand, is there's such a consciousness of this. You know, they had this big payout and this lawsuit against concussions. There's so many different protocols. They're so much more aware of things. Understanding education's just off the charts on this. It's certainly about caution wins the day. You know, it's a different world we live in. So we know the environment we live in, and to kind of see this where it's almost, you'd say, blatantly obvious. You know, just by the reaction of Tua and that clearly there's a problem.
Yeah, when he was stumbling after that hit in that first week,
right,
and his lineman had to hold him up, and they go, no, it's because of his back.
Yeah,
come on. We're not dumb. As a public, we aren't medical experts, but you know what we are? We got eyeballs.
We know a
like
concussion
that.
Versus a back
Come
issue.
On. Yeah. You can't treat us
so,
like
so
that.
So that's the part that's just, a little misunderstand. I don't get that. I don't understand how, with all that we know and all that we do, that slipped through the cracks.
All right. Hopefully we didn't let anything slip through the cracks. So
never.
Scott, we'll be back at it again tomorrow for a Tuesday edition of the show. We want to thank Devin Cafusi for the Players Club today. And we're going to be back at it again tomorrow. You'll hear Jaren Hall's Player Club tomorrow right here on the program. So
For our producer, Jeremy, Alex, Scott, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.